WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Before I got money, I was in the track kicking doors, and I'm just being honest. If you want smart, then we cook niggas up like an omelet. I'm just being honest. Throw me a 60 if I go to Magic or Honest. I'm just being honest. I keep a stick or a blicky in case it gets sticky. I'm just being honest. In case she know that I'm with it, I'm having this chick and this trick, and I'm just being honest.
I'm with that.
Who really getting it? Be honest. Hey, pop should be giving. Be honest. She red like a pan. I got rats in the bag, and these bitches be hooked like fine.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRChat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite episode because hashtag Epic Partner. We're here to talk about the Elimination Chamber that everyone apparently on the internet has thought so positively about. You can never win. Anyway, we'll talk about it. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
What do you mean, Rock? The internet loves everything.
Just not WWE PLEs, apparently.
Well, yeah. But, you know, if the same thing happened in 2 weeks, then, by God, it was the greatest long-term booking ever. It's the greatest show ever. It needs to go on for 8 hours. Blah, blah, fucking blah.
Yeah.
Because they're impartial.
Very, very impartial. And we also have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, that would be me. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming, of course, as always, as promoted earlier, on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR Live. And I am talking in very, very, very fast pace because I'm over-caffeinated. I was up at 6 o'clock this morning, and there was no reason for it. I didn't have to work today. Damn it. Hi, guys.
For you.
How you doing?
Yeah, doing fine.
That's good. What'd you do today?
Worked.
Oh, sucks to be you. Sucks to be you, Brent.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I enjoy what I do.
There you go. Anyway, I just want to say hey to everybody in the chat, especially and including our lovely host of The Rack on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern, the lovely Lindsay Ward. Hi, Lindsay. And that being said, Rock, I don't recall hearing any boos at all.
No, there were no boos.
Wait a minute. Shall we just talk about the reveal right off the hop?
Yeah, talk about it. The man in the box. Talk about it.
The man in the box, Danhausen. Campy. He's a comedy wrestler. It's going to be fun watching what he does in WWE. When he first appeared, the crowd was all, you know, all happy and giving him cheers and welcome and stuff like that. At the end, they booed. I don't think they were booing Danhausen. I think they were booing the fact that it wasn't Chris fucking Jericho or John Moxley or Stone Cold Steve Austin or another absolutely huge name. And, okay. And WWE even stated, we didn't hype shit. The internet did.
So people who, after the first night, you could make the guess of, oh, it could be something huge. Could have been Jericho after the first night. And then when they started, it moved to SmackDown. And all you have are the mid-card comedy guys and the tag team guys surrounding the box. You knew it was a comedy thing. It wasn't something going to blow the roof off the place. I think they booed because he got in the ring and then disappeared and went, oh, that's
it. That was it.
I think they needed more of Danhausen doing something other than a dance routine. That's why I think they booed.
Well, yeah, I think it's like a combination, actually. But I don't think Danhausen himself was, I did read positive posts on social media.
Those positive posts were paid tweets by WWE supporters. WWE paid them to tweet the positivity.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop you right there, Mr. Conspiracy Theory. No.
No, but that's what the internet is telling me. If it was positive, it would pay WWE support.
Yeah, okay, let's call
WWE
bullshit.
Wants to throw their money around like that.
Yeah, well, we're gonna call bullshit on that right now. And that's all there is to it. WWE doesn't need to pay people. They're not the politicians.
I mean,
people to post. Come on.
I mean, they are politics. Anyway,
No. Don't even go there. Let's not.
But he's.
Ventura was.
But no, but the chief content officer has a role in the government. He is a politician, technically.
Like the president's council on fitness or something like that, whatever it was.
I mean, it's legitimate. He is part of, like, he is in the politic world. It is a thing. Anyway, it's beside.
Honestly, I think, like, going into this, we knew it was going to be Danhausen. As much as initially it was like, oh, what if it's Jericho? I think ultimately, like, when we look at that, it's like Jericho debuting as that would have, I think, really been lackluster. So, like you said, it's okay, it's probably a comedy, it's probably something else. And then, yeah, it's like, okay, we're starting to get Danhausen. Then that it happens. And I think part of the problem with this, and we talk all the time about, like, there are different audiences for the product. So, like, WWE is a very mainstream audience at its core, right, Rock?
Yeah.
They may know of certain things, but they're not necessarily, like, scouring the indies for the most part. That's why when someone debuts, they can throw a name on them and a good number of people will go, oh, okay. Part of what I think, and I mean, don't get me wrong, Chicago is a very smart market, but I also think some of this is, you debut Danhausen, and he has his introduction, which, by the way, you have this entire buildup of both Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis, like, what the hell is this box? They go out, they prop the crowbars into it, and then just fuck off. Just, all right, it's open, we're out. We don't need to deal with this anymore.
They saw a coffin. I'm out, we're off. There's no coffin for us.
Yeah, they saw the coffin, and they're just like, nope, I'm done. See ya, bye. And then we got, like, all of the Danhausen girls coming out, to which the first thought is, holy shit, how big is that box?
Yeah, right? I mean,
because the joke that we had for the longest time was, it can't be a wrestler, it's been a box for 2 weeks.
It was a box in a box at that point.
Right, but we're like, they've been transporting this box wherever. If it's a human, they've been in the box for 2 weeks. But that also plays into the fact of Danhausen. Why? Because he's not human. He's not normal.
You guys have you heard of Dark Shadows?
Yes, there was the remake movie that happened about a decade ago, but there was the TV show that happened much earlier.
60s and 70s into the early 80s. And I have to admit, that was the first thing that hit the back of my mind, was Dark Shadows. And for those of you not familiar with it, it was a satire, soap opera type, dark comedy. And the central character was some guy from like the 1700s that got turned into a vampire and then buried for 250 years. So,
but I think ultimately what happened is kind of like you said, he came out, he did a song and dance routine, and I think everyone kind of went, huh? Because this is your first exposure to it, and you're just not sure about this, what's it supposed to be? Okay, there's girls dressed like him. He kind of does the curse thing, and I mean, if you know Danhausen, you know he curses people, and he has the jar of teeth. But it was just kind of like, okay, yeah, they did that. I will say, I appreciate the little kind of attention to detail of when he goes to disappear, it's not this big kind of boom smoke. It's like this little puff of smoke and the lights go out and then he's just gone. It's like those, it's like the 60s Batman when they throw the smoke bomb. It's just enough, but not really anything worthwhile. So nice little caveat there. But I think ultimately this is going to be like, cool, he's had his debut. At the end, it kind of, meh. But it's going to be, what do they do with him moving forward? How do they...
Yeah, going back to what I was talking about with the positive tweets that were definitely not paid for by WWE. I read several that want to see them do some kind of thing between Danhausen and R-Truth.
Wow, they really want to do something original with the comedy guy and the comedy guy. Wow.
Yeah.
So original.
That to me, that was like, no, you don't need to pair those two up. Keep them separate.
You pair them up for a WrestleMania bit. That's all you do. That's what you do with it.
Well, because then you also run the gamut of what happens if R-Truth is funnier in that moment. Not that Danhausen's not funny, but it's like, what if he gets outshined? Then it's like, oh, shit. I think you let him kind of build on his own,
but
it will be
guy.
Interesting to see who you pair him with in terms of like first feud or first person to play off of.
Give it a chance, see what happens. If it bombs, it bombs. If it succeeds, it succeeds. I don't know. People are never happy.
I'm willing to let it play out, and I think a good number of people are, but yeah, some people want that instant gratification of like, nope, this should go over like gangbusters from the start, and if it doesn't, then he's completely buried and failed and whatever else they say about it.
Right, and it also proves that WWE audience doesn't fully watch AEW. Some people know, some people knew who he was, but also Danhausen has been on ice for months. I think he had one appearance in a year.
Yeah, he's mostly been working the indies because there was no creative for him.
But the AEW kept him on the roster, like on their website, until just this past week.
Well, that's what they do. That's when when his contract officially expires. That's when they remove people.
Which is why we knew it wasn't going to be someone, because they were still listed on the AEW roster for a while.
And is still listed on the AEW roster as of today.
That contract is frozen right now.
And that's fine. So congrats to Jericho for making more money from Tony Khan and not doing anything for 8 months.
Although, you know,
when you hit 55 years of age, it's kind of nice to just sit back and watch the money rolling.
I mean, just ask Christian and Edge and Jericho. They all just sit there and Britt Baker and they just collect Tony's money.
It's the WWE retirement fund, legitimately.
Big Show has been getting it for 5 years from Tony Khan. Mark Henry was getting it
for a while.
They didn't do much for them, but hey, got money.
I mean, look at Ricky Starks by the time he was leaving. They weren't using him hardly at all, and he was still cashing a check until they finally decided, nope, your contract's done. And then he went and got money and is being featured in NXT right now. So
in their top program.
Yeah.
So yeah, Danhausen was in the box. Woohoo. Things other people they also hated on this show was the women's elimination chamber match. What'd you think?
Why did people hate it? Why did people hate that match?
Because people, Tim.
Because someone won and someone they liked didn't make it to the final two and it didn't go the way they wanted and man.
No, and it goes for both matches. Oh my god, these are supposed to be the most brutal matches in WWE and there was no brutality in them. I'm sorry, when one company goes and decides, hey, we're going to just bleed everywhere. Yeah, the other company won't look as brutal as them. God, sorry about that. You want your wrestlers to get hurt? Because that's what they apparently wanted them to do. They wanted them to kill themselves last night.
So here's the thing about like women's matches. And this isn't saying anything about women's wrestlers in general, so don't come at me or come at me. I really don't give a shit. I would say in today's day and age, the women wrestlers have proven they are as athletic, as talented, as able to get over with the fans as much as their male talent in both companies. Cool. With that, it doesn't mean that, yes, I need them to, you know, blade as much as their male counterparts. They need to, you know, if they have a street fight, then someone better be, you know, having gallons of blood coming from their forehead. And it's like, okay, I would much rather see good performance. And if something happens, it happens. I don't need the second they hit the chains to be like, oh, they're busted open, because that's what happens in Blood and Guts. They close the cage door and someone is already blading. And then all of a sudden everyone talks about how brutal the match is. And it's like, they took a bump into the cage, y'all. It's fine. Throughout this match, I mean, they put together some damn good stuff. I mean, hell, one of the biggest spots of the match, Rhea pulling off that cannonball from the top of the pod, was fucking amazing. I didn't need to see, like, Raquel busted open or, you know, having some form of injury to sell it.
I thought Tiffany Stratton had a strong performance. I thought Alexa Bliss looked good in the time she was in. I was disappointed that she did not. She was first out, but that's beside the point.
But that could also be building to something else.
It could. I thought Raquel looked like the double pin. That was great.
That was good. She had a little problem with the Tahana bomb.
Yeah, well, but yeah, well, that happens.
But that's also the fact of, and I'll say this, the way that she has to get someone into that Tahana bomb doesn't help, because, you know, like a standard choke slam, it's like, okay, you have the arm they can leverage. She's going like up through the leg of her opponent, and that really doesn't put either of them in a good position,
especially when the other person has to lift a little, and their knees are not the best at this point in their career, so it kind of just,
yeah,
that doesn't help.
But like you said, the double pin makes Raquel look like a badass, and honestly, Kiana James keeps taking that step forward. We had talked before about, like, oh, maybe she's there to be a sacrificial lamb for someone to get into the match, or maybe, you know, she's just going to be in there for a little bit. No, she took charge a little bit.
She did.
And it's one of those things where, like we've said, they put her with Julia, but it's starting to be that moment where it's like, okay, she's with Julia, but she doesn't have to be, because now she can kind of stand and perform on her own. And yeah, maybe it's Julia needs her.
But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You need more female talent that can thrive in WWE right now. You need people who can put on good matches, and she's proving in these situations she can deliver.
Well, especially when we've got 4 main level women's championships plus the tag belts, and you've featured a number of women in this match. Plus, you had 2 competing for one of those, you know, secondary titles. You've got your main women's matches set for WrestleMania now. The women's side of the card's starting to stack up a little bit, which is nice to see. And you've got people in reserve to build programs around in addition to those title matches, which is a good problem to have of, like, okay, we have all these people. What do we do with them?
A lot better to be able to sit around the table discussing that than scrambling because you've got everybody you planned on pushing hurt.
That's well, the men's side.
And the best part about it is even one or two of the people that are hurt are still being featured on television and making an impact. Chelsea, good job.
But the moment Rhea and Io lost the tag belts, it was kind of obvious Rhea is going to WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't telegraphed on Friday night at all.
Well, and I talked about it last week. The reason I did not want to choose Rhea was, and I mean, they talked about it on the show. This is what, her 5th spotlight match at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
And I get, you know, she is probably the biggest name on the women's roster. There are people I know who don't watch wrestling, but if you say Rhea Ripley or Goth Mommy or Mommy or anything like that, they know of her. So, yeah, you want to feature your biggest person, and especially on your biggest show, and especially when you want to sell tickets, you want that kind of name power to it. Plus the fact that in this event and the event before, we were throwing around another name that we all thought could be involved until we got word 2 weeks ago about surgery. And if she's not going to be involved with Jade, kind of your next person that you would probably be like, okay, who's the biggest match that we can set Jade up with? Yeah, is going to be Rhea. So Rhea kind of in the cards to win this. We could see it coming, but in terms of like personally, I was kind of like, I hope next year come Mania, it's like, it's okay if she's not in the spotlight.
Next year for the women will be an interesting way to do things. But that's another year away. I thought like for me, I talked about this a lot on Thursday, that the story you could have told was Alexa winning, because you could have 6 weeks of jealousy come out of Charlotte Flair, who wouldn't have a spot on WrestleMania, but Alexa would.
Or you don't play up the jealousy, but you might show like how much Charlotte has changed because she is rooting for her best friend.
But you see it, like you see her, like she's conflicted up about it. That's what it was. It's like, I mean, I want to support my friend, but I'm also missing out on WrestleMania. So does she help her friend? Like, you had storyline options going in that would have been interesting television, because if they played it out on Friday where she was eating the ice cream, like, you know, everything's fine. Everything is fine. I'm not upset at all. But you could have told a story. Charlotte's missing WrestleMania. Alexa has the opportunity. But they went with Rhea, and it's Rhea and Jade's going to be a fine match. If they actually let them go, they could steal the show, because you put them in a short 10-minute burst of a match, it could be really good.
Rhea is someone that could match Jade for power and, for lack of a better term, help control Jade for the time that you need. Because as we've said, as we've seen, Jade gets really excited and works a little fast at times.
Yes.
And I think Rhea, given her size, given her speed, given, you know, all that she can do, can help regulate Jade and get a bigger match out of her, kind of like a Charlotte.
Right now, Rhea is probably the number one opponent on the roster who would be able to force Jade to pace herself, like current, not injured, active.
Yeah, most likely. Anyway, Rhea Ripley won. They were good standouts. The match was actually pretty good, despite what the internet will tell you. Yeah, and Rhea and Jade at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we're here to correct the internet because they get it wrong. It was a good match. It was entertaining. Yeah, you're going to have rough around the edges spots, but that happens in cage matches. You can't get away from it.
Also, I feel a little bad for Tiffany. She seems to not be able to leave matches unscathed anymore.
Yeah, well,
she's lost. She chipped a tooth. She got busted up in the mouth or nose with this one. She has a rough go.
Well, you know, it's not ballet, as I say, Brent. It's not ballet.
Yeah, Tiffy time is a rough time.
Up next, it was AJ Lee challenging Becky Lynch for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, this match delivered exactly what I expected. It was going to be sloppy. It was sloppy. It was still fun and entertaining. And just the fact that it's AJ Lee's first singles match since she's returned just heightened everything and made it more enjoyable. And damn, I think I was wrong about the outcome of this one.
A lot of us were. Well, it was the thing of, like, we know that this is the Mania program, so we're like, if you give the title to her here, what's the payoff at Mania? But also, it's her first singles match, her hometown, with the crowd, and now as you talked about on Thursday, Rock, you're also seeing Becky really go off the deep end here, and especially if you're reading her social media, she's going off the deep end.
Yep.
But going in, it's like, watching this match, I forgot, like, how much AJ can really kind of play the ragdoll, or, you know, the babyface in peril well, and boy, in this match, she was playing that to a T.
She was, and that's the role she needs to play, especially on the comeback like that.
Well, yeah, no, it was good. I have a feeling I'm going to need to clarify or defend when I called it sloppy.
Yeah, because I disagreed with it being sloppy.
Yeah, no, it was sloppy, but remember, I'm looking at it from a booker standpoint. It's once you book wrestling matches, it's hard not to look at at shows. It's hard not to look at shows without that in the back of your mind. I'm not saying it was bad sloppy. I'm not saying it was all over the place, crazy. There were a few a few moves there that were a little bit stiff. The upcoming move set was telegraphed, and again, it's because she's in her first singles match since returning. Yeah, sure, she's had what, 6 or 7 matches leading up to this with others.
What? Two? There was two.
Two matches. Yeah, two matches leading up to this. Yeah. Where did I get 6 or 7?
6, 7?
Oh, no, yeah, those are supposed to be the two funniest numbers in the alphabet. But anyway, yeah, no, she, you know, like her two appearances, she's had people with her, and, you know, they were primarily to help knock off the ring rust in front of the crowds. But I don't want to say stunted. Like, when I said sloppy, I didn't mean it like it was anything bad.
Okay.
It wasn't like tight. Does that make any more sense at all?
More sense than using the word sloppy.
Yeah, okay. In some situations, I've been taken out of the match by what you see in the ring. I didn't get taken out of the match.
Match was very good for what it needed to be. It sets the stage for what's to come. You can't go all out in the first. I think they did it so AJ keeps it till Mania and then loses it back to Becky. Where this just drives Becky insane and she has to do something to get another title shot.
Kind of like your scenario, Rock, where it's like, put something on the line.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, AJ can sit there and be like, I have your title. I've beaten you 3 times. There's nothing for me to do. And it's like, you can antagonize me all you want. I'm still on top. And it's either Becky has to really get in the head of AJ. And I don't know how you necessarily do that. Or you entice her with something so big that she can't say no. I don't know if it's going to be like a career, because that's a pretty big ask, especially for one of your top people. But for all we know, who knows? Maybe the contract isn't long for Becky.
You don't know.
And Rue has school.
you don't know, but you put a career on the line. You put the hair on the line. Do something just to where it's like you raise the stakes for WrestleMania. Because at this point, AJ could move to another challenger because she's beat Becky, as you said, 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the one thing I like about this story, well, 2 things. One, this match proved to me that it's like, you forget how small AJ is because her character is big. Like, when she carries herself, you're like, she seems like, you know, a big person. And then she gets in a match with Becky or whoever, and you're just like, oh shit, she's getting thrown around like nothing. Damn. But two, the best part about this story to me is, you've got the other part of it, and they're not deliberately part of the story. They're thrown in by Becky. Like, Jessica Carr is doing nothing to attract attention. She's just being a referee. She's not going over the top. She's not overselling. She's not doing anything. You forget, for the most part, she's there until Becky interacts with her. And then it becomes like, look, I'm doing my job. Don't involve me. And then, you know, Becky puts her into the buckle and she, you know, goes to kick AJ, kicks the referee. There's nothing that Jessica's doing to advantage AJ. She's just being impartial. And it's showing how crazy Becky is in saying that there's this conspiracy with Pierce and Carr against her.
Yeah, they're doing a good job of adding those extra elements to it. Without being the focus, without it being the focus of the entire story. So we'll see what happens there. Her husband was in the ring, in action, CM Punk.
Oh, I thought you meant the other husband.
No. AJ's husband, CM Punk, was in the ring defending his title against Finn Balor.
Oh my God, that entrance, Rock.
I did a pretty good job with the Bulls entrance for Punk.
The funny thing is, they didn't immediately go to Cult of Personality after Balor came in the ring. So you were kind of like, okay, they've got something up their sleeve, but what's it going to be? And then when they hit that synthesizer, anyone who grew up in the 90s popped hard because you knew that as the Chicago Bull entrance.
Bonus points if you can name the band.
God, it's Twilight. I know Twilight Zone's the song.
No, it's not Twilight Zone.
I thought that synthesizer was the start of, well, not the regular Twilight Zone.
And if it was Twilight Zone, the band would have been Golden Earring. Yes. I'll give you a hint. The British. It's okay to say, I don't know, I give up. Quit Googling it.
I thought it was Twilight. I don't know.
You give up?
Yeah.
The Who, specifically Pete Townsend.
I don't think it was The Who. Okay, now I am Googling. Hang on.
Tim's wrong, too.
I'm wrong.
The Alan Parsons Project.
There you go.
So all that for wrong information. Thanks, Brent, for Googling.
But no, when he did that and they got the actual Bulls Arena announcer, because of course, you know, United Center, Chicago, you can get the guy. And it was such a great hype, and you got the fans instantly energized because they know who's coming out, but you hit them with the hometown Old team engines. And introduction and what they already get excited for. And then you hit Cult of Personality and he comes out while rocking the Blackhawks trunks. It was full Chicago on display. The only thing he's missing was like a Cubs or a Sox hat to go with it.
Well, yeah.
And maybe Ditka leading him to the ring. I don't know.
It would have been absolutely hilarious if he came up with the refrigerator as a bodyguard or ring companion or whatever.
Okay.
But then we get to the match.
Yes.
And it was nice to see Balor not fully being heel. Like, he still has heel tendencies, but you can see that slow burn to face is still kicking off. It starts with the music and the old entrance, and it's a little bit heelish in terms of with the build to this match, as they said, like, he doesn't want to be an afterthought. He wants to prove that he's up to the level, you know, that losing that title 10 years ago after 24 hours and not being able to get back to that point isn't all there is for him. But yet, in that same interview, they're talking about, like, so is CM Punk in your way, or do you respect him? Because we've seen we've seen things happen, and he was honest about, like, it's both. I respect the man, but he's in the way for what I want. And so you're seeing him kind of navigate that tweener role that he's working. And then at the end, when he's trying to go heel a bit, but doesn't get that help, it sets up, like, you know, moving forward, where was Dom? Where was JD? And they can be like, oh, well, you said you wanted to go it alone. And it's like, okay, you're right. But he was still looking for, you know, looking down that aisle and waiting to see what happened. But I liked the psychology in the match of him working over, like, the sternum, the solar plexus of CM Punk. And so when Punk has to, like, deliver the elbow drop, he can't capitalize on it well. And so when Finn goes to give him the coup de grace, it's going to hurt that much more.
It was a good build-up to that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Balor pulled out all the stops to try and do it, respectfully.
Yeah, but. Yeah. No, you know, this was a top-tier match, really. It was really, really entertaining.
But ultimately, Finn did not have what it takes to win tonight, or that night.
Last night. One thing that I did miss, how did Punk get his lip busted open?
That, I couldn't remember.
I couldn't remember how it happened. I just know it happened. Probably,
you know, just all of a sudden he's nose mouth.
Something that he took a shot somewhere. They talked about on the post show. He took a lot of kicks to the face.
Yeah, his wife refused to kiss him in the ring.
Yeah. So lots of kicks to the face kind of played a part in that one. But CM Punk retains. He's going on to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Now that one's pretty clear for the world title. The WWE title picture. Little bit of a situation going on it with the men's elimination chamber match. Randy Orton wins, and you think
a little bit shocked and surprised.
A little shocked, a little surprised, maybe. But then afterwards, they did a whole thing where, you know, we're setting up a title match for Friday because there's a lot of interference in this one. A mystery man, and then another mystery man, and then a Drew McIntyre. They found creative ways, Brent, to get people, I guess, into the chamber.
They did. They found some ways of, like, because we were talking last week about this exact thing of, like, some, in my opinion, the masked man was going to find their way in.
By hook or by crook.
We talked earlier in the week about Shawn Michaels coming through the grating. We talked about Logan Paul coming into the cage. There was precedent for it, but it was that thing of, like, okay, how do people get in?
When the fake masked man started climbing, I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Second the guy started climbing, I was like, yeah, that's the distraction. That is absolutely the distraction. And I like the fact of they pulled the mask off of him going up the ramp, and I was just like, oh, look, it's a Seth Rollins cosplayer. Because that's exactly what the guy looked like.
I didn't think cosplayer. I thought, okay, imitator, lookalike.
But it's like, as soon as they did that, I kind of went, okay,
they're telegraphing this.
And so when they're dragging him away and Trick is still at the door open, slowly selling, I was like,
he took forever to sell that, didn't he?
I was like, here's where the other guy sneaks in. And lo and behold, the camera caught him sliding in on the side. And I was like, yep, here's the spot.
And just the way he walked in, I'm like, okay, Seth's finally here. That's Seth.
Well, yeah, at that moment, you had to kind of reveal who it was. Because if you did it on, I feel like if you did it on SmackDown or Raw leading up to Mania, you wouldn't have the full build that you need. This was your big moment of, like, you have a big crowd. You have the PLE audience cash in. And lo and behold, they, for lack of a better term with Seth, cashed in. But in addition to that, so after all the chaos with Seth and getting Logan out of the ring, which, by the way, is just payback for, what was it, 3-4 years ago when Logan did the same to Seth?
Wow, it wasn't that long ago, was it?
It was like 3 years ago.
It was at least 3 to 4 years.
Wow. Yeah. Time flies.
It does. It was 2 years. And it was two. Was it? Were they 30?
It wasn't two. As last year was.
It was 30. They worked 39. Yeah. So 3 years.
But
no. So
when they were getting Logan out of the ring,
I want to mention Logan Paul, who was in the match because Jey Uso was supposed to be in the match, but really wasn't. It was supposed to be Bronson Reed, who got injured on Monday. And it's out.
That pissed me off so much because I picked Bronson last Sunday
to be in the chamber.
Well, if Bronson didn't tear his bicep,
yeah, he would have been in it.
Actually, no, Tim, you chose L.A. Knight. Yeah,
no. I chose Bronson Reed to be
in the chamber.
Yeah.
I figured L.A. Knight was gonna. They were gonna finally pull the trigger on L.A. Knight.
Speaking of L.A. Knight. Oh
yeah.
Whoopsie. But that's always the problem that you have when you're doing, like, a jumping move involving the ropes as a, you know, as a set-off. So that's like when Tiffany has to try and do the bounce from the first rope to second rope to top to do the moonsault, you always kind of go, she better hit it, because if not, it's going to look bad. And LA tried to jump up to the top rope and get to the top rope.
No,
but he did a nice recovery.
No, I thought he was on top.
He jumped up, his feet hit the rope but slipped right off, and then he ends up on the ground and
when he was trying to jump back off again. Yeah.
Yeah. And then did the elbow drop from the mat. Which still works, but it's still not works. Nearly as impressive as the jump.
Yeah, kudos to Barrett and
Cole.
Michael Cole for selling reasons why he slipped.
But yeah, then so going on back, then Drew shows up, hits Cody with the belt.
Goes to hit.
I believe he hit him with the belt, and then what was it?
Randy comes over.
Yeah, Randy came over.
Hit the RKO,
then was going for the crossroads. He hit the crossroads, and then Randy hit the RKO on Cody. Randy going to WrestleMania.
So, I never saw that one coming.
I liked what they were talking about in the post show about that moment. And it was kind of what we've talked about in the past with Kevin in his fights with Cody, and then when Randy fought Cody that first time when Cody got the belt after this past Mania. And there was that moment where Randy hesitated, and it cost him that match. And in this, I really liked it because Randy hits the RKO, Cody puts him into the crossroads, and you see Randy like, yes, do it, give it to him. And he hits the crossroads, and as soon as Cody gets up, it's just like, well, boom, hits the RKO. And not in a heel way, but just that, like, you lowered your guard for a second, and I'm capitalizing.
Well, you know, Elimination Chamber, every man for himself, friend or foe.
Well, and I think the best part about it that showed that kind of mentality was, if you watched after the match, like, Randy is, you know, he realizes he won, and he kind of looks over at Cody, and he sees the dejection, and he wants to go and help him up, but he's like, no, I can't right now. Because he also knows that is going to make it worse. But there's the small looks that Randy gives Cody throughout, and you can see Cody selling absolutely the dejection of what happened. So Randy can still be the face in this moment, and yet do the things that he needs to in order to get where he wants to.
Well, it was an opportunistic move and win by Randy, and that was probably the best way to do it.
Yeah. Because I know a lot of people are like, they want him to turn full-blown heel, and they think it's kind of, and it's just like, he doesn't have to. He can still be a face. He could just, you know, if the opportune moment presents itself, he'll take it. He doesn't have to cheat to do it, but he'll take it.
He doesn't have to turn heel anytime anymore. So,
yeah. But,
really, he doesn't. Just
but Rock.
It's Randy Orton. Okay.
Yeah, he's going for 15. So, Rock, did the internet have anything to say about the two young lions in this match and how they were treated?
You know, the internet talks about everything. I was kind of let down by Javon Evans. I thought he would have done something more.
More bouncy,
but that's fine how he hit the frog splash from the top of the thing. I thought that we would have got a bigger dive, but logistically probably he probably wanted to, but limitations from the chamber.
I think a little bit limitation from the chamber. I think it was... You had to try and sell the story with Logan. And so, like, okay, we have to get these two or three eliminations out quick with him stealing them. I think if Javon gets in that match again, then he'll probably get one of those bigger spots like a Montez with the
Yeah.
The
but splash. They gave him the 5-minute entrance to do bouncy all over the chamber.
Holy shit, he went everywhere. He's climbing on everyone's pod.
He worked the crowd for 5 minutes.
Part of me was just like, Javon, we got a match.
Yeah. Well, that at one point, like near the end, the ref, I don't know if you guys are able to rep
hit in the ring or anything.
The ref said, get in there. We got to get going.
Yep. Saw that one. But so the show ends, Randy's victorious, but then the post show happens. Drew is pissed. He's yelling at Aldis. Aldis is pissed because Drew wasn't supposed to be there and he interfered. It cost Cody the match and all these things, and they're still yelling. And then Aldis has enough, books a match that shouldn't be booked between Cody and Drew for SmackDown for the title, even though it was written into the contract that Cody didn't get another title shot at Drew. So a little bit of logic there, but the GM said, fuck it. We're making the match anyhow. You lost your rights, and here we are.
In this moment, I like it, because for the past 4 weeks, Drew has injected himself into any situation that involves that title. Cody, Jacob, just if they're going out there and they're going to try to get themselves a title shot, Drew's like, nah, screw it. I'm going to cost you. And so I kind of like in that moment, not just immediately going, okay, I'm going to put you in a triple threat. I just like a GM that's going to go up to him and be like, you know what? I'm tired of your shit. There's a consequence for what you're doing. Plus, you've got Randy now, who Drew wants to be opportunistic. He's got someone that will come out of nowhere just to fuck with him. So now Drew's head's going to have to be on a bit of a swivel. Well, I mean, depending on what happens on Friday. But I just, part of me is also one of those things where, like, I would, or another way of doing this, aside from, you know, setting up multiple people into the match, which is probably what's coming at WrestleMania, is I would have just loved to see Nick Aldis go, all right, about this, the next time you walk out and you're not involved in the match, like, either someone gets added, I'm adding a stip, I'm doing something, to where you make it so that Drew can't do that anymore. And it's, Aldis is able to kind of fuck with him in a administrative way, but not in an, you know, that, like, heel manipulative way. It's like, no, I'm going to regulate this. You think you can get away with whatever you want. I've tried suspending you. It doesn't work. Now, I'm just going to be like, okay, cool. Your title match at WrestleMania, it's a steel cage.
We're going to strip you of the title, and the title's up for grabs, and the two people you screwed are going to face off with you, and the winner gets it.
Just something to where it takes that card out of Drew's hand of, like, I'm just going to go and create chaos.
So we will see either a singles match at WrestleMania, a triple threat match at WrestleMania, a four-way at WrestleMania, who knows?
A six-pack challenge with a ladder, who knows? We could be going in that direction.
Who knows?
I just got a at the end of the paper, PLE, sorry, at the end of the PLE, I got the feeling that they're going to book it as a three-way.
No, probably the four-way, as the man's mentioned, because Jacob Fatu gets a shot too, so he'll probably interfere on Friday, and there'll be no winner of that match. And then all those will be forced to make it a four-way.
Maybe Sammy gets involved, who knows?
Who knows?
Fatal four-way. I could do a fatal four-way. I could live with that.
It is just try and get as many people into the match as possible to make it more interesting, I guess. So that's what it is.
And then there's me sitting back remembering a couple of back in October when we did our fantasy booking and we didn't have Drew involved, and now he's playing
the centerpiece.
A huge part.
He's the centerpiece
in that role.
Oh, the role. Yeah.
Whoops.
All right. Housekeeping.
Oh, yeah, housekeeping. I forgot about this part. Okay, so... Oh, wait, I forgot to order them. Hang on. It's all for a minute, Rock. It'll take me just about...
So, yeah, that was Elimination Chamber. We'll talk more about it on Thursday when we give Lindsay a shot to give her opinion on the show. And, yeah, the title match on Friday is going to be interesting. I'm not sure if we get a clean finish. The most intriguing match, Cody versus Randy as a singles match, and then you do Drew and Jacob as a regular match as well.
That's where I kind of went with when they announced it, was I thought...
I like Drew, those better.
Drew drops it. Drew drops. We get Cody and Randy playing out for... Randy's looking for that number 15. Cody's just got the belt back, and the history between them all with, you know, legacy and all of that.
Yeah.
And then you have Drew and Jacob, where you can pay off that fact of, you know, did Drew attack him to start? And whoever wins that essentially is your number one contender for the belt.
And you still
after Mania.
You still have a chance, Brant. You have Cody versus Randy for the title.
Yeah.
Still a chance for your predictions. Still have a chance.
For my predictions?
Yeah, for WrestleMania, night two, Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton.
Is that who I had?
That's who you have.
I thought I had Punk. Oh, no.
But you have Punk and Breaker.
Oh, that's right. I had Roman, Jacob, and Jay going on the one.
Yeah.
And then, Punk, Breaker, before Breaker decided to, you know, get a hernia or whatever.
Or whatever, yeah. All right, have we stalled long enough?
Yeah. All right, so tied for last place, going 1-3, was myself, Casey, and Tim.
That never happens.
So that was 11th place. Tied for 6th place, we had Lindsay, Sarah, Subway, the Magical Wheel of Fun, and in a fun little thing that Rock did, Brock AI.
I didn't do it.
I thought you did.
That was Tim.
No, I did.
Oh, Tim did it. Okay. My bad. So that finished 2-2.
Holy shit, Rock did better than me.
Tied for 2nd place was Rock, Sheila, Rob, and the Magic 8-Ball. And then all alone in 1st place going 4-0 was Chris P.
Nice.
Would be Chris.
And Rock, we're only, 2 weeks away from the next pay-per-view?
What? Oh, AEW. Oh,
2 weeks away from the next pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, AEW. That's right. There's an AEW show. Get ready, Lindsay.
7 weeks away from the next PLE.
Actually, we're 6 days away from the 6 days away from next PLE because there's one on Saturday for NXT.
Stand and deliver.
Well.
No, it's there's a different one. Stand and deliver is in April. There's one Vengeance Day is Saturday. I think. Anyway.
Let me double check.
Anyway, as he double checks, we'll be back next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday Night to talk about something. But tomorrow night, it's the Raw Potion. When Raw ends, we live to talk all about it. Thursday night, Lindsay gets a chance to talk about Elimination Chamber on the Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night will be another edition of CB Radio. We'll check out last night's show, which featured the return of the Lone Jobber. Lone Jobber and Benjamin will be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. That Wild Talk Radio is Facebook.com. This is Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim.
Yeah, you can follow me at Flames Forum on the Twitter X, whatever it is. So make sure you do that. And I'm going to take a quick second here just to remind everybody that I am doing the play-by-play commentary for Ignition Pro Wrestling. The next show is Friday, March the 6th. That's next, this coming up Friday. Doors open at 6 p.m. bell time, 7 p.m. at Chapel Howe, Legion 606, 38th Avenue, Northeast, Calgary. Advance tickets, $20, 30 at the door. If you want to do the VIP, it's $45. Limited tickets available. You get meet and greet, merchandise, photo, early entry at 5:40 p.m. Those are available at PulseRushProductions.com. You can check the event page for Ignition Pro Wrestling Legacy Begins. And it's a stacked card, Brock. We got the real deal, Camille, AJ Khan, JJ Payday, Alejandro Galindo, Carson Graves, the Canadian Goose, stunning Steve Wilde returns, Diamond Ryan Dickey, Rhino Reynolds, Chris Castles, Kiki Roberts, and of course, the Terminator, Teddy Hart. So, we'll see you there at Chapel Howe.
Get your tickets now this Friday. What was the promotion, Tim, again? Ignition?
Ignition Pro Wrestling.
Ignition Pro Wrestling. This Friday night. Brian.
Yeah, you can find me on various social media at Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. That's Twitter/X Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky. Rock, you are correct. Vengeance Day is next Saturday with three matches on the card. I'm guessing right after that will probably be AAA on YouTube as well. So yep. You can have an entire wrestling weekend if you go to Ignition Pro Wrestling and then watch the WWE products. So get ready, buckle in.
The last PLE on Peacock as of now for NXT. Chad, as a reminder, if you have that, I don't know. No one knows yet. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime. Just Prime, click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Sack in the Fortnite item shop. Just hashtag Epic Partner. We're done, Tim.
That's it, everybody. Have yourselves a great week. Those of you in the Calgary area who are going to the show, I'll see you there. Otherwise, go do your homework, make your bed, and then lie in it. We're done. We'll catch you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Everybody see the floor. Everybody see the floor. Everybody see the floor. Everybody see the floor. Everybody see the floor.
WildTalkRadio.com.